Hello and welcome to Word of God Ministries with Pastor James McMinnis. If you enjoy the teachings of Pastor McMinnis and would like to obtain more resources or help us continue preaching Jesus as the manifested Word of God, visit our website at WOGM.com. The following program is paid for by the friends and members of Word of God Ministries.
There's some things I want to read from Joshua, and so I'm going to be turning through the Old Testament, and I want to begin here in Joshua 10. Verse 25, where God speaks through Joshua, and Joshua said unto them, "Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight." And I said it before the prayer, but I want to say it again. Courage is not the absence of fear. If you weren't confronted with fear, you wouldn't need courage. And the reason I feel like courage is the missing element to faith is because many people allow faith to get them to a certain place, but they don't have the courage to make that final step or that next step. Let me be clear about this. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we are to live by faith, we have to take God at his word. Romans 10:17, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." If you know that verse, quote it out loud with me. "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." God's word contains faith. God's word is a seed. It is a seed that is filled with faith. Every seed is a vehicle. Every seed is a container. All seed contains something. And you really, you know, might not know what a seed contains until it is planted and you see what comes out of it. But the word of God is a seed, and it is a seed that contains faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as I read the word of God, as I hear the word of God, faith is planted in my heart. That's how faith is increased. When they came to Jesus and said, "Lord, increase our faith," he basically said, I'm gonna sum it up, treat your faith like a seed. Bad religion told us that he said, if you had faith as, and then bad religion added, little mustard seed. He didn't say nothing about size. He said, if you had faith as, you don't even have to worry about the adjective mustard. If you had faith as seed, you could say to this mountain, "Be removed," and it would obey you. You would have what you say if you had faith as a seed. That response came when they asked Jesus how to have an increase, how to have an increase of faith. Jesus was saying, treat faith like seed. See, whatever you want an increase of, you have to treat it, you have to find the seed of that thing you want and plant it. The Bible says, he that hath friends must first show himself friendly. So friendliness is a seed I sow that I might reap friends. And you can't just sow friendliness to the person you want to be your friend. All right, you sow the seed of friendliness to everyone, and you let God bring in the harvest of friendship. But whatever you want more of, you have to sow it. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as I hear God's word, my faith is increased. You cannot set up under this word and it not do something to your faith. I didn't say a sermon, and I didn't say you can't sit in church. There is a difference between hearing a sermon or sitting in church and getting in the word of God. It is the word of God that gets results every single time. It's his word that will not return unto him void. It's his word that gives us hope. It's his word that fills us with the spirit of faith. But when you hear the word and you begin to receive hope and faith for things you otherwise would have never had hope or faith in, they came to you because of his word. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So I begin to live my life in hope and in faith by his word, the evidence, the title deed, the assurance of the thing that is not clear to my human eye. I begin to live by faith. Even in that process of living by faith, just as the children of Israel came to the land of promise, and they had heard the word, they had heard the land was theirs, The enemy reared his head and convinced them that they could not have what God had promised. And the enemy does you and I the same way. There is a position, there is a purpose that we have been called to walk in, and the enemy rears his head and says, you can't be that, you can't have that, you can't do that, you can't achieve that, and that's when we need courage. Come with me over now to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. Woo, hallelujah. 1 Chronicles is not 1 Corinthians. You're still in the Old Testament. I want you to go to the 22nd chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 22. And this is all foundation, so stay with me. It won't take me but a few more minutes. This is all foundation stuff here. I got about three more verses of foundation stuff, and then we're going to get to the meat, and then we'll leave here, and all will be well. Watch this. First Chronicles chapter 22, you get there, say amen. I kid you not, this is foundation stuff. All right, watch verse 13. Everybody there? Look at your neighbor and make sure they're not in Corinthians, because there is not a 22nd chapter in 1 Corinthians. All right, watch this. Then shalt thou prosper. Prosperity is not limited to finances. It includes finances, but it's not limited to. 3 John verse 2 says, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. I believe in total life prosperity, that God's called me to prosper in every aspect of my life, mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, hallelujah. Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. So what is it going to require for me to live these statutes, this word that God has given his people? Look at the latter part of the verse. Be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. He's letting you know that if you're going to live the word, if you're going to live the book, if you're going to do the word, it's going to require courage, because the face of fear is going to always present itself to intimidate you into retreating with your Bible. All right, now come over to the 28th chapter of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. Oh man, this is going to be so good. Y'all just stay with me. Watch this. It's coming together. We almost threw the foundation. You can't build a good house till you get a strong foundation. All right, so watch this. 1 Chronicles 28, verse number 20. And the reason I'm reading all these verses is so you can see the pattern. That's how God imparts knowledge, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. You start seeing a pattern in the Word of God. The Word will teach itself if you'll stay in it. All right, watch this in 1 Chronicles 28, verse number 20. Anybody there? And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. So David is letting Solomon know that when it comes to doing the service of God and doing the work of God, fear is going to present itself, but you have courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Have courage. Come with me to Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter number 4. Just keep turning, you'll find it. Just a few pages over. Nehemiah chapter number 4. And let's drop down and look at it in verse number 14. Nehemiah 4, verse number 14. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse number 14. You get there, say amen. All right, watch this. I heard everybody in the front row saying amen. Did everybody get there? All right. I want to hear you all the way in the booth in the back. In the cafe out there in the front. Watch this. Verse 14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. The Amplified translates that to say this: do not be afraid of the enemy. Earnestly remember the Lord and imprint him on your minds, great and terrible, and take from him courage to fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes. And in the book of Nehemiah is rebuilding the gate. He's rebuilding the temple. He's rebuilding the city of God, and he's under consistent threat of the enemy to stop this advancement of God's kingdom, just as the body of Christ is today outside these walls. We're under consistent threat to keep our faith to ourselves and to not live out his word. Now, let me turn the page, because I feel like I've laid the foundation here. And let's get to a place in the word of complete application. Because I want now to be able to get in this word, and then you see your life in the word and say, man, that's what I've been going through. Man, that's what I'm facing. All right? So let's do that by turning over to the New Testament. In the Gospel of Mark, and I want to go to the fourth chapter. Mark, chapter number four. Mark, chapter number four. If you are going to live by the Word of God, you must have courage. Why? Because there is in this world an enemy to God's Word. There has always been an enemy to God's word. From the very beginning, there was an enemy to God's word. When the enemy came to Eve in the garden, he didn't just come up with anything. The words that came out of his mouth was a perversion of what God said. It was a direct attack against the word that Eve had chosen to live by, a word that God had given her husband that had been passed on to her, a word that established the culture of the garden of God in Eden. That word came under direct attack. You have to know that if you're going to make a decision to go to church and to read the Bible and to get in the Word of God or watch a live feed that's got the Word of God, if you're going to make a decision to meditate on these words and to live these words and to make this book the standard of your life, you have to know there is opposition to that in this world. And that opposition is going to tell you that this word is not to be relied on, that this word has no integrity, that the enemy will use intimidation, domination, manipulation to try to get you to retreat in your walk of faith. There's a reason why you can talk about just about anything to anybody, but something tells you, don't talk about Jesus. Your mama even raised you and said, now baby, don't talk about two things, religion and politics. And is it any wonder that the world's religion and the political system is messed up? Maybe because we won't talk about it. Patty cake, baker's man. All right, good enough. All right, watch this. Mark chapter number four. You talk about your grandbabies, you talk about your everybody, but you won't talk about Jesus. All right, watch this in Mark chapter number four, and we'll look at it down in verse number 14. And I don't mean to be, you know, accusing you of nothing. I'm here to build you up. Just stay with me. Watch this. Mark 4, 14. The sower soweth the what? The word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. So look at your neighbor and say, welcome to the wayside. Where the word is sown. But when they have heard what? When they had heard the word. Now, I already told you, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when I hear the word, faith is coming. Some of you came and you got up under the word, and you didn't want nothing changed. You just came. And stuff started changing because his word will not return unto him void. Hallelujah. That's the power of his word. But you have to know that just as faith comes when you hear the word, notice what else comes when you hear the word. Verse 15 says, when they had heard the word, watch this, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. So we're living in this world, and there is an enemy to the Word of God in this world, and there is an enemy to the Word of God in your life. That's why you can do just about anything without distraction or interruption until you go to get in the Word. If you think I'm lying, get up in the morning and pray and tell me what showed up. All of a sudden you was too tired. All of a sudden you was too hungry. All of a sudden you was too distracted. I mean, everything can start happening and breaking down when you make a decision to get into prayer, to get in the Word of God. When you can do anything else without distraction. Because why? It's spiritual warfare. Against the Word of God, because the enemy knows what that Word will do in your life. So you can sit through a church and be entertained and have no issue, but you sit in a church where the Word of God is going forward and you wrestle in your mind trying to keep attention. Why? Because there's warfare. The devil don't mind us coming up in here and having a show. You can jump in hot pews as long as you don't get nothing you can use. The enemy does not want us to get the Word of God. Because it's the Word of God that gets results. Our churches can have more programs than DirecTV, and we still not get a breakthrough if we're not getting in the Word of God. And the problem with the world today is that preachers themselves have been intimidated in believing that I can't preach the standard of this Word because it's not acceptable in the world. And if it's not acceptable in the world, it won't be acceptable in the church. And preachers want to be popular and liked and have 50,000 followers on Instagram. So they say things that are cute and make you feel better, but won't get up and tell you what the counsel of God is. That's what's wrong with the world right now. We got to get back to this book. So watch this now. We almost there. Go with me to 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Whoo! Come on, somebody. Go to verse number 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10. You're about to see yourself. You're about to understand some things. All right, watch this. But thou hast fully known my doctrine. Paul writing to Timothy. He said, you have fully known my doctrine. Doctrine just means teaching. Thou hast fully known my teaching. Watch this. Manner of life. Manner of life. Do people in your life know your teaching, what you've been taught? Do people in your life know your manner of life? Manners means behavior. Your mom and daddy said, boy, you better be on your manners. That's behavior. Paul said, you know my manners. You know my behavior of life. Watch this. Purpose. You know my purpose. I love that word right there. Your purpose with a name. You've known my purpose. Paul's saying to Timothy, you know why I live. You know what gets me up every day. You know my teaching. You know my manner of life. You know my purpose for living. Glory to God. He said, watch this. He said, you know my faith. So obviously this wasn't some little, you know, secret thing Paul had going on. He said, you know my long suffering. Charity means love. You know my love. You know my patience. Watch what else he said. You know my persecutions. You know my afflictions. Now watch this, because we're about to tap something here. He said, which came unto me at Antioch. Which came unto me at Antioch. Just read that part out loud. Which came unto me at Antioch. He says, what persecutions I endured. I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Ooh, can we read that part out loud? But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And now he's going to make it clear that he wasn't isolated in what he went through, because notice what he says in verse 12. Let's read it out loud together. He says, yea, read it, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. See, you've been persecuted, you might not even know what's going on. I'm about to show you what's been going on and why you need courage. Because I want you to see what happened in the life of Paul. Oh, I can't even say it yet. But watch this. He says in verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, but build you a house out on the prairie and retreat. No, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Hallelujah. Now, notice here, because he said something I want us to look at. Oh, this is going to be good. He said, the persecution and the affliction. Paul, talking to Timothy, he said, that began in my life at Antioch. He named the place when all of a sudden this persecution began to arise in his life. Now, I want you to find yourself in this, so let's go back and look at Paul at Antioch. Go with me to the book of Acts, the 11th chapter, and we're going to go to Antioch. Because we need to know what was it about Antioch that all of a sudden now Paul started enduring persecution and affliction. Now, I don't want to overlook the faith and the love and the long-suffering and the patience and all those other things that came. But he specifically said persecution and affliction began to hit my life after Antioch. So I want to know what in the world went on at Antioch that the enemy got so threatened by you that he began to attack you. And as we look at Antioch, I want you to remember or to think about what's your Antioch. Antioch's a place where something happened to the early church. And I'm concerned that today's church doesn't want to go to Antioch. Just stay with me. Watch this. Acts 11, you get there, say amen. We'll go down to verse number 25. Acts 11, verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul, and when he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. Here we go. Let's see what in the world happened at Antioch that the enemy started bringing affliction and persecution. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Uh-oh. First time a disciple was ever called a Christian was at Antioch. Disciples didn't go outside of Antioch and drop a big sign and says, First Christian Church, Antioch. No, they were just living the book. They were just doing the book. They were just living by the word of God. They were saying what Jesus said, doing what Jesus did, acting as Jesus acted. They're just living the word of God. And the people that saw them living by such discipline to the word of God said, man, those guys are Christians. They are Christians. They're just like that Christ guy. So they gained the reputation of being like Christ. Because they were living by the words of Christ, speaking the words of Christ, doing the words of Christ, and as they lived the word of God, the those that saw it said, man, that Christ guy's done multiplied. Now, let me be real with you. There's a difference between you saying you're a Christian versus others looking at you saying you're a Christian. And when you truly start living Christ, when you truly start living your faith, that is going to come with opposition. The enemy's not going to just sit back and let you represent Christ. I don't feel like, you know, I don't want you thinking, man, this is a bad news message. Oh, I went to church tonight, pastor, going to be persecuted. I don't know. No, I'm about to show you victory in this thing. But I'm trying to get you to understand the things you may not be understanding that are happening in your life, because all of the trials and the troubles you face and all of the tormenting messages in your mind and why you lay in bed at night with anxiety and these thoughts are penetrating your mind and you're wondering where all this has come from and the messages of fear, you need to know that this is spiritual warfare over you, that the enemy does not want you to live out your faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, we wrestle not not against flesh and blood. The problem we face is not with people, but our warfare is a spiritual warfare where we have to cast down thoughts and imaginations and ideas and words that rise up in our head against the knowledge of God. And we have to cast those thoughts down and reject every thought that is contrary to the faith that we've received from God's word. There's a reason why you're being persecuted. There's a reason why the fear is coming. This is an attack against you living out your faith. And so every time you try to take a step in faith, every time you try to act in faith, fear presents itself and tells you all these reasons why that won't work and why you shouldn't do that. And God is saying, have courage.
Thank you for tuning into Word of God Ministries podcast. To obtain your copy of this series in its entirety, visit our online store at store.wogm.com. For more information about Word of God Ministries, visit our website at wogm.com.